And now for reading and writing and radio.
Everyone grumbled. The sky was gray. We had nothing to do and nothing to say. We were nearing the end of a dismal day, and there seemed to be nothing beyond. Then, Daddy fell into the pond, and everyone's face grew merry and bright, and Timothy danced for sheer delight. Give me the camera, quick, oh quick, he's crawling out of the duckweed. Click. Then the gardener suddenly slapped his knee and doubled up, shaking silently, and the ducks all quacked as if they were daft, and it sounded as if the old drake laughed. Oh, there wasn't a thing that didn't respond when Daddy fell into the pond.
That was written by Alfred Noyes, but it could be you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Fell into the pond. What an occasion. It brightened up a whole bad day, except maybe for Daddy, and it will never be forgotten. It really was a special occasion. Let's think today for a little while about special occasions. Actually, we have lots of special occasions, and you've heard lots of songs about them. You've no doubt written some yourself. You've no doubt been told to write some. Have you ever written about Halloween, Christmas, Lincoln's birthday, Washington's birthday, Mother's Day? I bet you have on at least one of those topics. But after a while, often, those poems or songs all begin to sound alike. A Thanksgiving poem should be full of turkeys and dressing or what we're thankful for. And a Mother's Day song seems to turn out how much we appreciate Mother, whether or not we happen to be mad at her just then for something. Now, I'm not against holidays and special type occasions of that sort. I like a holiday as much as anybody. But these already have special songs, and plenty of them. And also, holidays only come around once in a while. Christmas comes but once a year, and when it does, it brings good cheer. But lots more frequently come special occasions that really are memorable and worth marking in some special way, and that nobody notices except us. And what I'm interested in is that one special outstanding occasion that never happened before and might never happen again and needs to be marked by a song in its honor, like the time that Daddy fell into the pond, or the time the bee stung you on the tongue, or the joy you felt when you heard for the first time that you were going to have a baby brother or a sister. Poets have done this now and then. One that I've thought of is by Keats, and the title of it is rather long and formidable. It's called On First Looking into Chapman's Homer. And the experience that Keats describes in this poem is the sense of wonder and joy and discovery that he felt when he first looked into this translation of either the Iliad or the Odyssey. I heard the story once, and I don't know whether there hadn't been a translation up until then, and then all of a sudden here came out of the Greek into English this beautiful translation, or whether it was just that Keats for the first time stumbled on it. It doesn't make any difference. It was the thrill of the discovery. And I remember we read the poem in junior high school, and at the end of it, he compares his own feelings with those of the explorer Stout Cortez when he first comes up over the ridge of land and discovers the whole Pacific Ocean spreading in front of him. Now, the main thing I remember from that was that it was pointed out to us, even before we had a chance to recognize it for ourselves, that actually it wasn't Cortez that discovered the Pacific Ocean. It was really Balboa, and that Keats was wrong in his history. But what he's writing about is the thrill of looking into that book. And this, for him, was a very special occasion. I've written some special occasion poems like that myself. I'm not going to read you the one that starts out, "Last night I saw Saturn," because it's really a very bad poem, and I'm embarrassed by it, full of these and thous and flowery language. There is one special occasion that I will read you about, because I don't think it's that bad a poem. When I was in college, my brother had a pet raccoon called Bundle, and Bundle was hibernating in a little nail keg outside in a large pen that my brother had built for him, and we had some company come to dinner, and they had small children, and the small children heard that we had a pet raccoon and they wanted to see him. And so my brother went out and hauled Bundle in, and what a mistake. I wrote a poem about it afterwards called "Sonnet to a Furious Coon." "You do not understand the ways of men who have a fondness for the furry wild, and keep you not through meanness. We beguiled you from your natural haunts. Into a pen we led you, fed you, fattened you, and then carried you in tonight to please a child. We did not know that you would be so riled, hissing, glow-eyed from out your sofa den. Do not be angry at us, fuzzy coon, snatched from your hibernation solitude to hump before pressed stranger enemies in fear. The pleasures that you bring die soon. Man heart, coon heart are close together viewed. We see our own fear-mad uncertainties." That's a sonnet. As I said, I had an assignment to write a sonnet, and so I chose the special occasion of when Bundle was so angry at being waked up. Not all special occasions have to be the only one of their kind, of course. I came on a book once when I was a kid, and I've been looking around for it ever since. I can't remember the title, but it had something to do with ceremonials for special occasions. And it was dealing with this same sort of thing. Not the ceremonials for the well-known occasions, but something to think or say or feel on lighting a bonfire, for instance, or carrying in a bushel of apples, or polishing the silver. Small, homely things that yet have a specialness, even a sanctity, and that the very repetition of doing them, like lighting a fire, makes even more special. I have a few general ones here that deal with food. The one that gave me the idea for this program is by my daughter Jill, who wrote "Song to Sing to Your Garden." And she prefaces it with this: "This is a song to sing to your garden. You will have to improvise on the tune because I don't know what sort of music the plants in your garden like. Singing makes plants grow faster and better, especially if the song is written for them." Demi wrote a song to a vegetable. She's illustrated it with green beans, so I suspect the vegetable is a green bean. She's titled it "A Grace," and there is a still continuing argument going on with Jill about whether grace is a celebration in itself or whether just eating can be a celebration. But here is Demi's poem called "A Grace." "You, friend, who have had root in earth and head with wind, I gathered you in my arms. I thank you now while you are yet before me, steaming green, for the greetings of sun and water you hold, your joyous growth since the dawn. I eat you with pride, friend. Let me not waste your trust." And those two poems on gardens, vegetables, reminded me of a poem by Michel, who has made up a special song for the avocado. She actually sang it, and I wish I could give you the tune, but I can't. But here is the avocado song. Oh, let me tell you a story about a great and noble vegetable. His name will be known through all the land. He's avocado. They say that the scorn he's endured in those years of never being sautéed or cured would have withered any other vegetable or fruit clear through to the root. Oh, what a peel, said they, is he. His color is something akin to green tea, and he'd scarcely enhance a recipe, poor avocado. Someday a miracle will happen to that great and noble vegetable. His name will be known through all the land. It's avocado. He never had an unkind word to say while others became tort or flambé. Then some thought perhaps they had judged him in haste. After all, perhaps he has a taste. We think he's delectable, said they, in his own very special way. We'll love him culinarily from this day, dear avocado. So now you know the story of that great and noble vegetable. His name is known throughout the land. Bravo, avocado. Demi wrote a poem in celebration of the blind man who stands down on the corner in the town where we live at the main intersection holding a box of pencils. Old man, you stand there with your matted red dog obedient on your feet, a cigarette box held in humble plea for change fondled between fingers by three packs of juicy fruit gum. Few coins indeed. I do not notice till I pass, and then stand and watch you. You hear others and follow with your sightless eyes, but I pass on in tennis shoes. My heart wonders, aches. Why am I unable to put coins in? Eyes unable to thank me, fingers fumbling, gratitude. But what about pride? I cannot. How will he react? The crowd passes with blind eyes. There's another very special occasion that each one of us feels keenly, and that is our own birthdays. We could write a song of ourselves, a song of myself, for our own birthdays. Dr. Seuss has a book called, I think, The Birthday Book, and it's got a birthday bird that comes and gets the little kid on the beginning of his birthday. And one of the first things that is done on the birthday is to take the birthday boy, in this case, to the top of some pinnacle in that kind of crazy world that only Dr. Seuss can draw. And the kid stands at the very tip-top, and he shouts out a song to himself. I didn't look it up to see if it was a poem or if it was anything more than, I'm me, and today is my birthday. This is my day, and I'm me, and I'm glad that I'm here. I think that each one of us could write a special song for the special occasion of our birthday. So what sort of special occasions have you had that you can write about? The specific special occasions, the general special occasions. Maybe all of you might want to write to the class hamster on the birth of three babies. One thing I did when I was a child, and that is worthy of a poem, though I've never written it, there might be a song on shaking the cud out of a goat to see what it looks like. You could write on the day I got my puppy, or the day I finally learned to ride a bike, the day I came home from the hospital, the time that my stupid chameleon finally caught a fly, the bonfire again, the time that I built my first fire all by myself. I have a very elderly friend who told me that one of the joys of her childhood was climbing to the very tip-top of a pine tree near her home where the wind would cause the top with her weight to bend and swing back and forth, and there she felt at the top of the world, and she would shout out with great joy Goethe's Hymn to Joy. But she could just as well have been shouting out her own song on the special occasion of being at the top of the world, swayed by the wind in a pine tree. And who says that these special occasions have to be happy ones or that they have to be happy songs? For special occasions come in all varieties, come in all flavors. It could be a sort of funny dirge, a celebration of the mumps. It could be a really sad dirge, a poem on the death of my pet turtle. The main thing about these songs for special occasions is that they're your own. The things that you notice, the things that you think about and feel should be specially marked. And that, of course, is what makes them really special.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.